The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money.
What if your financial goals and your deepest convictions were perfectly in sync? Welcome to episode 101.
102. Yes.
Like, I can't count.
No.
Yeah.
You're 4 seconds in, and he had to correct you already.
That's right. That's right. This is what happens when you go over 100, right?
We'll get these kinks worked out here soon.
Well, welcome to episode 102. 102 of Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management from a perspective of biblical wisdom and principles.
That's James Good, and I am Eric Terrio.
I am James Good.
That's right. Very good. But you know, we're surrounded by so-called financial advice every day. But how much of that actually helps you become who God wants you to be? Today, we're bridging the gap between your bank account and your heart's calling.
And every week, then, we talk about some financial headlines.
A couple.
Hopefully with clarity and focus. But that is just the beginning. We'll see if we can stump you with our weekly trivia later in the show. And then we'll spend the rest of our time diving deep into principles and practical strategies that help you manage your wealth with a clear conscience and a kingdom focus.
That's right. But first, James, how about we take a look at some of those news highlights you were talking about? We have some good news here today for Joe.
Yeah, but the first thing that really tops the list for me, this might be good news or bad news.
Okay.
Spirit Airlines has ceased operations.
Yes.
Now, is that good news or bad news?
I don't know. It affected me personally.
It did.
I had 2 tickets to Puerto Rico on Spirit, and now we had to rebook them on a different airline and work on getting a refund.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But last Saturday, they announced that.
They announced that last Saturday. Mm. I mean, those tickets were never, it never turned out to be as cheap as the tickets said.
What's that?
What? I mean, you'd buy this ticket for like $50. Until it was all said and done, you'd spend $500.
They added on all the little ones so you could pick your seat fee.
Yeah.
And that didn't include a carry-on. Mm-hmm. So even if you wanted a carry-on, check bag, anything you wanted to eat or drink, there's no snacks.
Yeah. Or your luggage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the process now of getting a refund. Who are you getting that from? Are you getting it from them? How does that work?
Well, I'm not sure. My fiance, she's working on getting it back through her credit card provider. But it does say that if you booked it directly through Spirit, they're offering you refunds directly.
Yeah.
But if you got it from a third-party booking agency, then there might be another process you have to go through. But yeah. I didn't book them personally, so I don't know.
Yeah. But the impact of this,
I sent the money.
How many airlines were in that? Ultra cheap space, right? There was only like 2 or 3.
Well, not just in that ultra cheap space, but who has that flight path from X airport to X destination?
Very true.
Because they're very limited.
Because if Spirit was the only one, then suddenly it's
who's filling that void?
A lot more expensive.
Probably one of the big ones.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or people are driving.
Not to Puerto Rico.
Or swimming. Oh, my goodness. Well, I also saw you. I love acronyms, right?
Uh-huh.
And
so does the government.
It just reminded me Delta, the airline.
Yep.
You know what that means about your luggage, don't you?
No.
Didn't even leave the airport.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, goodness. Or delays every landing through Atlanta. Okay.
Well, I know in recent years, Spirit has been the butt of a lot of jokes and memes, but
that's right.
I guess not anymore.
That's right. But we're actually supposed to be talking about things meaningful, right, to our audience.
Well, these budget airlines go out of business, and the only options are the more expensive. That kind of impacts
folks. That impacts.
Travel, vacations.
That's exactly right.
Leading into the summer.
Leading into the summer. That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, you know, we still have this issue going on in Iran.
What's going on over there?
Oh, this war. Right?
Oh, that's okay.
Right. And the Strait of Hormuz, mm-hmm. and oil not making its way out. But it's interesting. It does not seem. Well, I mean, we're now in the third month of what was originally supposed to be a short little excursion, and so this whole thing has gone on longer than anyone originally said that they thought it would.
I don't think anyone believed that, but
that's what they said. That's what it said. You know? Yeah, and so here we are. We're 3 months in, but the global economy seems to be kind of holding up.
Yeah.
You know, it was
our own included.
Our own, it seems that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aside from the fact that it costs 2.5 times as much to fill up my gas tank,
2.5 times as much.
Yeah.
What?
Well, it feels that way.
Okay. I think it's like up $1 something a gallon.
That's right. But but I was just thinking, you know, why would that be? If you know, you'd think that if the oil shock was really there and is extending over some period of time. One reason certainly is that different economies around the world, countries have oil reserves.
Yep.
Right.
And they're so tapping into those right
they're
now.
They're tapping into their oil reserves. So the oil shock has not really been fully experienced yet.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I think really is that artificial intelligence and AI related stocks, I mean, you have a lot of positive stuff going on there.
That's a nice pop recently.
And that's a buffer against the oil shock, right? So
I agree with that.
We'll have to see if that sort of continues to balance out. And then there are expectations, right? The expectation is that oil prices will fall again. Things will kind of come back to normal.
I think if this, you know, wraps up in Iran and the World Cup comes and mm-hmm. 250th anniversary, and right. we have a very short-minded memory here.
We do.
With our news cycle.
There we do. That's right. So whether it's true or not, whether oil prices really do fall, still probably I think households are, you know, digging into their savings and their investments instead of actually changing their spending patterns. So that would be another reason why the economy is continuing to hold up. Businesses probably not just immediately cutting employment because they think this is a temporary thing. And when oil prices come back down, then it'll be back to business as usual.
And yeah, we've got a little bit of notes more on that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The jolts, right? The jobs report is coming in.
This morning, it was supposed to be at 8:30.
Yeah.
I didn't see it released, getting notes together, but yeah. I pulled a couple articles together. One from ADP.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that private payroll rose by 109,000 in April, topping expectations.
And it was only projected at 84,000.
Right. And these are private companies,
Private companies, not
government jobs, right. government spending.
Right. So that's a very positive.
That's
a very positive thing. Mm-hmm. That might be happening because there are some businesses expanding here in central Pennsylvania.
That's right. Let's get to some of those good notes.
Let's just
we're having some good things happening around
let's
here.
Let's just attribute the positive things to what's happening here in central Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Right? I mean, the rest of the country is falling apart, but central Pennsylvania is leading and holding it together, right?
The shining beacon on the hill.
That's right. So, I mean, you can't help but notice the multiple new locations that are being put in by, like, Wawa and Sheetz.
That feels like a never-ending process throughout the past 10, 15 years.
That's right.
There's a battle between those two.
There is. That's mm-hmm. that's exactly right.
And a loyal following for each, too.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I remember hearing the little song that they did about Wawa. I won't sing it.
Please don't.
But Shake Shack,
mm-hmm.
wow, coming in and competing with the Big Mac Index.
Yeah.
The Shake Shack Index.
Yep. And they're not bad.
They're not bad.
Mm-hmm. And I see you have Cava.
Cava?
That's great. That's like a Mediterranean version of Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. I do like their food.
So there's some businesses that are expanding. mm-hmm. here in central Pennsylvania.
That's what he said this morning. And I was like, yeah, but Spirit just went bankrupt. And my favorite local pizza shop just shut down over the weekend. So I'm not too happy.
Stay focused on the positive, right? Okay. But it's true. You have to sell a lot of Shake Shack hamburgers to make up for Spirit Airlines.
Sure.
Right. That's a lot of hamburgers.
That is. A lot of jobs.
A lot of jobs, that's right.
Because it was 14,000 employees were impacted with Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of Wawas need to open. A lot of Sheetzes need to open to fill.
Spread out a little.
Yeah, that's right, to fill that gap. But over here on the Carlisle Pike, there is a coffee shop, Seven Brew Coffee.
Mm. Not familiar with that one.
I'm not yet either.
But you're going to be.
But I will be. That's right. We'll have to go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Wolf Fitness, the new gym franchise.
Franchise.
Right.
So it might have a few locations opening up.
Might have a few locations. That's right. So, you know, it's good to see businesses opening, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right, as well as
more options to consumers, more economic activity locally.
That's right. Yeah, because if you just read about the bankruptcies and businesses closing, at some point you would think, is there anything left out there?
Yeah.
Right? And there actually is.
And I tell folks all the time, stop worrying about the national headlines so much. Worry about more local
mm-hmm.
politics, economics.
Right. That's right.
I mean, because that is really what's going to have more of an impact in your day-to-day life than worrying about what's going on in Washington or overseas or this or that.
That's right. But, you know, my wife and I were camping over the weekend, and on the way to the campsite, we stopped off at a Sheetz. we just got a couple of breakfast sandwiches. And, wow, that was a story of inflation.
Yeah. Did you go to Bucky's when you were down
we
in
did.
Tennessee?
That's right.
We did, too.
That's right. The band played in Tennessee a couple weeks ago, and we stopped at Bucky's.
I took my fiancée there. It was her first time ever seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when folks see it for the first time, it's like a new experience.
That's right.
And it's not really a truck stop.
No, it's not.
They don't
really
want it to be classified as that.
That's right.
But it's still
that's right.
a big
but,
deal.
You know, our consumption economy is on display.
Mm-hmm.
In some of those things. So anyway, the important point really of all that is that you want to make sure your investment portfolio is structured in a way to benefit and take advantage, even if there's lots of changes.
Because we're watching this stuff every day.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And stay focused, stay disciplined in your investments and try to take advantage of where the economy's at.
That's right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720. Where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are continuing our discussion of SMART,
mm-hmm.
right? The acronym that stands for specific, that's the S, measurable is the M, achievable, which is the A, and this week we're getting to the R. But this all relates to your definition of success, which is so important in understanding the mission that you are pursuing in your life. Last week, we talked about the A. We were talking about the achievable and action part of that. Today, we're talking about the R, which is relevant,
mm-hmm.
right? If there is only one thing that you take away from today's discussion, we hope that you will remember that your goals and the actions you take must be relevant to your mission, must be relevant to your definition of success, if you hope to ever achieve the success that you're pursuing.
Yeah. I mean, you can take many actions, but if they're not relevant, you're not going to end up at the destination that you intended.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, on the face
of it. Potentially set you back.
Potentially set you back. That's right. On the face of it, this seems really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like we should talk a little bit about, like, what are some scenarios where action takes place and things happen that are not relevant
Mm-hmm. I think we've talked a little bit about that earlier. Maybe getting pulled in too many directions sometimes, that can have an effect.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, what does that really look like if you're pulled in too many directions, right?
Well, just taking action that's not really aligned with your goals, and it's exhausting your time and your resources, which mm-hmm. are limited.
Right. I mean, let's say you're running a business,
mm-hmm.
and this is a business that you feel passionate about. You feel like, you know, God's really called you to be in that business, and so you're providing a service or product, something, again, that you really have a high sense of mission for. And you're in this business for a while, and you know, inevitably what happens after you've been in business for a while, you start getting recognized for maybe successes that you've had, success in business, achievements in the community, and so on and so forth. And sometimes it happens quickly, other times it just happens a little bit at a time. Requests start coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, could you sit on the board of this charity? We'd really like somebody with your experience and your expertise, you know, to sit on the board of this charity, and which is fine, right? It's a great pursuit to have, but it uses up some time. And what you're doing on the board of that charity may or may not be congruent with the business that you're running. And so suddenly you have an action going on and time that's not really relevant to the mission that you're pursuing.
It's essentially robbing you of the opportunity to be taking relevant action.
Potentially. Mm. That's right. Depending what's involved there. Or,
well, if it's not relevant, then it is, because that could have been replaced with an action in that time slot.
Correct.
To take it.
Yeah, that's right. And since we only have 24 hours in a day,
and you're not awake for all of them.
That's right. That's right. Then if you're not focused in a particular direction, then you're pursuing something that really is not relevant,
mm-hmm.
right? And it hurts the development of your business and the mission that you're called to. Or, you know, suppose it's, could you donate time to a particular effort? I mean, which is not maybe a board position, but just donating time. Could you serve as a mentor, which again uses up time? So you suddenly have these requests coming in, and potentially that starts pulling you in all these different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And it can sort of creep up on you before you realize it.
But also, it's interesting, all those things you mentioned, they all have the potential to be very relevant in whatever what you're doing. So I think maybe it's important to carefully analyze those and ensure that they are,
mm-hmm.
or then that's when they'll be pulling you off track.
That's right.
But being a mentor, serving on a board, they could be very relevant for whatever your goal is.
It could be. That's mm-hmm. right. So it's at the risk of redundancy, it is super important to be clear.
Specific.
Specific. That's mm-hmm. right. About what you, the direction you're heading, your mission, your what you understand to be success, so that when these different things come along, that you know what to say yes to and you know what to say no to.
And I told you that story of that gentleman a while back. He told a group of us, he said, I've opened 100 doors in my life and 97 of them were the wrong door.
That's right.
So I'm here to help you all so you don't open those wrong doors as well.
That's right.
Because they went his whole life to learn those lessons.
Mm-hmm. You can either learn from other people or you can learn from yourself the hard way.
Right.
That's right.
I seem to do both.
yeah. But you know what? What happens when you start getting pulled in all these directions? You know, sometimes your calendar backs up.
Yes.
The Absolutely. Level of stress in your life goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you experience health problems.
Mm-hmm. And stress can take a toll on you.
I feel like I'm preaching to myself.
Yeah.
A
Joe,
little bit
move
there.
That mirror out of the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But this happens again if, you know, it can happen when you're in a space where what you're doing is not relevant to, you know, to your mission and your call. However you've defined success, if this happens, you are getting lost in everyone else's requests and not particularly what you are pursuing yourself. You know, we've mentioned Tom Monahan before on this podcast. Tom Monahan, we know, is the
Domino's
Pizza. That's mm-hmm. right. He is known for Domino's Pizza. He's also known as the founder of Ave Maria University. Well, I guarantee you that Tom Monahan did not become known for Domino's Pizza or starting Ave Maria University by running around doing a whole bunch of things that weren't relevant to his mission. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was focused on getting that done. And even I mean, you know, Joe Nebesinski here and Joe Murphy, I mean, these guys are focused.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, they don't have a choice. They have to sit here and be the sound engineer.
It's the day job.
It's the
day.
Right. That's right.
It's very relevant for all of our listeners, though.
That's right.
And the mission. If I push the wrong button, you guys aren't going to be on the air.
That's right. That's exactly right.
No episode 11.
That's right. Yeah. So, but relevant. That's right. The actions that are being taken are relevant. The Wright brothers had to, you know, select some things to do and some things not to do because they were focused on building an airplane mm-hmm. or figuring out how to do that. Henry Ford was focused on building an automobile. And so, you know, the list could go on and on of people who...
Mass producing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The list could go on and on of people who needed to decide what was relevant to their mission. Mm-hmm. And so if you're feeling that, you're not alone. Right. Okay? Everyone has to do it. And if you don't, you run into problems. Well, what's another... situation where relevancy comes into place or comes into play?
Well, I know we work a lot with the biblically responsible investing space. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of conversations with folks about aligning the value of their portfolio with the values of their lives.
That's right.
I think that's an important one.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. Maybe you've been working with like a sales rep in the financial services. So you somebody that you are working with who sells products and services to, and that person doesn't really share your values. Mm-hmm. And so the recommendations that they make are not in alignment. The financial products may be good, but if they don't align with your own values, then eventually what happens is you wind up with this internal conflict where you're feeling like, hey, things are happening financially, but it just feels like there's something missing because what you're doing is not in alignment with your values. Mm-hmm. And we've heard people talk about how frustrating that can be if the advisor or the sales rep they're working with doesn't reflect their values or doesn't share their values. Because every time the conversation comes up, it becomes either combative or they feel like they have to explain or whatever. So it's a challenging situation because the decisions that are made are not relevant to the mission.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have several more scenarios that we want to discuss, but I think we're getting – we need to leave enough time for this to cover the weekly puzzle.
Yes.
It's time for PA Trivia, PA Trivia.
Well, it's time for my favorite part of the show.
And everybody knows what.
The weekly trivia.
Yes.
That's right. Well, last week's question, in 1940, Pennsylvania opened the first long-distance controlled access highway. Say that 10 times as fast as you can. Mm-hmm. Right. Long-distance controlled access highway in the country. And it served as a blueprint for the modern interstate highway system. What was that highway called?
Do you know, Joe? Yeah. What is it, James?
The Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Yeah,
that's right. The Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Not a bad one. A bad one. Okay, so this week's puzzler, just down the road, this Pennsylvania town is known as the snack food capital of the world. Mm. It produces more pretzels and potato chips per capita than anywhere on earth. What is the name of this town? Pennsylvania town known as the snack food capital of the world where more pretzels and potato chips per capita than anywhere else on earth. What is the name of this town?
I'm eating some of those snacks right now.
I see.
Yeah. So, well, if you think you know the answer, send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the correct answer to this puzzle on next week's show.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio.
Wondering what to do with your used car or truck? Donating your old vehicle to AM 720 Holy Family Radio is convenient, easy, and may qualify you for a tax deduction. And best of all, your donation will make a big difference in supporting AM 720. Why not donate your vehicle today? We accept cars, trucks, vans, RVs, motorcycles, boats, and trailers. All you need to do is to complete our simple online donation form or call 1-866-628-2277 and we'll take care of the rest. We'll pick up your vehicle, arrange to have your donation towed, and provide you with a tax-deductible receipt, all at no charge to you. Call 1-866-628-CARS or online at 720WHYF.com.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. And today we're continuing to work on the SMART acronym, mm-hmm. right? Where S equals
specific,
M equals
measurable,
A is all about
achievable.
Achievable, action, mm-hmm. alignment.
The ones we throw on there.
That's right. Yeah. How many A's could we have on that? That's right.
As many as shades of brown there are.
As many as shades of brown there are. Oh, my goodness. All right. Okay. We're trying to put that in our rearview mirror now, right? But R we said was relevant.
Yes. That's right. That's today.
Yeah. And last week, we kind of got ahead of ourselves and we talked about things being realistic.
Alignment. Yeah, which kind of ties into relevant.
That's right. Oh, I guess when we were talking about it being achievable, we were talking about whether or not things felt realistic.
That's correct.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could probably go a couple different places with that. But it is so, so important for the action you take and the plans you make to be relevant to your mission.
That's right.
Right? Because you could just go down a bunch of different roads and end up at a spot that, A, you never intended to be, or maybe that's a totally bad spot to be, if the things you're doing, the actions you're taking are not relevant.
Yeah, and maybe even if it is relevant, it could backfire and not be the right move to take at a particular place in your life.
That's right. Well, that's true. I mean, being relevant and having things in alignment does not remove risk.
No, that's correct.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everything we do involves risk. Mm-hmm. Investments involve risk. You know, being in business involves risk.
Getting my car coming to work this morning involved risk.
Involved risk. You just can't take that. You can't take that away.
Mm-mm.
Right. So, you know, every step we take, whether it feels like it or not, is actually a faith step.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, only God can protect and keep us from that level of risk. Mm-hmm. Solomon said one time in the book of Ecclesiastes that we should divide our portion to 7 and even 8 because, as he said, you don't know what evil will befall you.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about risk. It sounded to me like he knew what risk was all about.
And about a well-diversified portfolio.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, long before, you know, modern portfolio theory and uh-huh. the things they were talking about there, he wrote that in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm.
It just took modern portfolio theorists 2,000 years to catch up.
And crunch the numbers.
Oh, yeah. That's right, on what he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. Well, you know, at another spot in the Bible, Colossians, in the book of Colossians, the third chapter, we read that is important to set our minds on the things that are above.
Mm.
And this means to mm-hmm. set our priorities and our focus on the priorities of God's kingdom directly in the middle of everyday earthly activities.
And that's so prevalent nowadays that people are not doing that.
That's right. That's right. But doing so means that when we're intentionally thinking in that direction, then the actions we take and the things that we do, again, are relevant to our mission in general as being God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, living in a way that is a reflection of God's kingdom coming right here on earth. So we talk about alignment, and we've talked about that. And in the context
here of goals and your definition of success being relevant. And I think, you know, we mentioned a couple of scenarios. Let's just cover a couple of more.
Sure.
Right? I mean, let's say in a scenario, you have a deep conviction about how money can be invested to both reflect your values and accomplish your financial goals as well. Mm-hmm. So you have that kind of conviction going on. And, you know, you're doing okay. Maybe you've accumulated some investments. Not a lot, but you've accumulated some. And then out of the blue, you inherit a large sum of money. And you know what happens next? Invariably, I mean, we've seen this happen. Suddenly, sales reps of all kinds show up and start knocking on your door.
And family members.
Right? And family members, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, somehow word gets around that all this money is there.
Mm-hmm.
But a strange thing happens inside, too, when someone has that kind of an inherited situation. All of a sudden, feelings start popping up. Well, I think I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe there are investments that get purchased. Maybe there are insurance products. Possibly there are just different things that money gets spent on. But as it goes, all of a sudden, you know, you realize, oh, no. Like, none of this aligns with what I thought was a conviction, right? Mm. The choices I was making were not relevant to the mission that I believe that I'm on. And that happens because there wasn't a good plan. I mean, things weren't written down and the decisions that are made then are not relevant in light of the definition of success or where it is that I thought I was headed. And then along comes the regret with that, kicking myself. Why in the world did I do that?
Sure.
Right.
And I'm sure they're still looking down the road at the goal that they wish they had achieved or were working towards, but their goals weren't relevant.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a tough situation, you know, because when an inheritance comes along, again, there is a dramatic shift in the financial position and the financial well-being and all of the accompanying feelings that go along with that. But it's so important.
And when you have those resources at your fingertips, it's real easy to pull that trigger.
It really is. That's right. So it's so super important in that kind of situation. If you ever find yourself in a situation or you know someone who does, to surround yourself with good counselors and good advisors who can help you make the right decisions and not only build out planning that's in alignment with your calling, but help you to structure your money in that way as well.
Mm-hmm. And also, I took note here of a couple items about why it's important to have things aligned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for example, a young couple, them prioritizing saving for a down payment for their first home, that's aligning with their value of building a strong foundation for their family.
That's right.
You know, that's home base for them, not just a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say an entrepreneur investing in their business to create jobs in their community, reflecting their commitment to economic growth and social impact.
That's right.
So,
and even, you know, frankly, going on vacation with your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was in a coaching group for a number of years, and one of the things that, you know, they encouraged us to think about is something called, as they described it, memory money investing, where you are intentionally creating memories with family are the kinds of things that you could not buy with money,
right?
And so you're literally making deposits in that bank, something that can last for generations and just last forever, really, in passing on and impacting, again, your family in a very, very positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to, you know, we don't want to leave anyone with the impression that, you know, if you decide to spend money going on vacation, that is a completely, completely bad idea.
But we do think that there should be a thoughtful process. I mean, you should think through that carefully.
Absolutely. Because if not, then there are definite pitfalls that come from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of them, you know, a lot of us play the comparison game.
That's right.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
That can be an issue of your goals not being relevant.
The bigger and better game.
Mm-hmm. The lost opportunity costs I was talking about earlier, robbing you opportunity.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, another area too that where actions that are taken little bits at a time over the years, and even actions that are taken then in planning is in this whole thing that we describe as estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really estate planning is really just about the orderly accumulation and distribution of assets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, careful thought needs to be given to how assets are built up and accumulated over the years. And then careful thought also needs to be given to how those assets are eventually distributed.
Mm-hmm.
It's
even from the grave, you know, and we talk about how money is a tool.
That's right.
So it can continue to be used as such through your estate planning and as you pass.
Well, that's right. But we're going to, I think we should talk that, I think we should unpack that a little bit, right?
Sure.
Probably in the fourth segment, it occurred to me as we were kind of thinking about this, you know, in the book of Genesis, in the 25th chapter, we read this very interesting verse. It says, Abraham gave all that he had to his son Isaac. That means he gifted it to him. This is what happens when people do estate planning. They figure out how to get money and stuff from one generation to the next.
Sure, it's a lot more complicated these days, though.
We don't know what all complexities they had. The next verse says, but Abraham also gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. It doesn't say how many concubines there were. I just found myself wondering if there was any family conflict going on when Isaac saw his dad giving stuff to the kids of his concubines. Right? I mean, the Bible is like notably silent on that. It doesn't say, you know, Isaac was thrilled when his dad gave stuff to, you know, other wives, you know, the kids from other wives. It doesn't say that.
Here's another example.
Uh-huh.
David, he gave instructions to Solomon before his death.
Right.
Yeah. Jacob, he blessed his sons and distributed his possessions, and then Abraham.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing of, you know, again, people thinking through what is going to happen to their stuff when
it goes way back.
When they're going, it goes way, way, way back. Right. It's a human proposition. But it is so important, again, for the choices that are made, and not just in the process of planning how those distributions are going to happen, but even in the decisions that are made leading up to that, the relationships that are built and so on, for things to be relevant.
Right.
Relevant to the mission that family is on, relevant to the mission and the calling that people have. And so we'll talk a little bit about that in the fourth segment here today, this whole estate planning conversation. And I think we're almost out of time.
Yep, that's right. We're out of time in this segment. We'll pick it up. Don't go away for our last segment. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF. AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. And I'm James.
And this is Eric.
Yeah, and we are co-hosting
Money and Mission.
Money and Mission, that's right. Episode 10. Mm-hmm. We are working through this acronym called SMART, where S stands for specific, and M stands for measurable, A stands for achievable, and we kind of expanded that to be action and and alignment. And R is all about being relevant. And this is really related to, again, your definition of success and understanding your mission here in life.
Mm-hmm. And it better be relevant if you want to achieve it.
That's right. Yeah. And this all goes to, you know, the name of our podcast here, Money in Mission.
That's right.
You have to understand the mission that you're pursuing, and you have to understand how money works.
As a tool.
That's right. So that money can translate into the tool that helps to accomplish that mission.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And we've been talking here this week about situations where action steps that people have taken or might take maybe weren't relevant to the mission, and the problem that people run into there is that they end up in a place where they didn't intend to be. They don't accomplish the mission they had started to pursue. They wind up with regret, stress and worry, and so on. So it is super important for there to be relevancy. As we took out the last segment, we were looking at the book of Genesis in the 25th chapter, and we said that, you know, there Abraham gives everything to his son Isaac. And so people had been passing money, distributing money from one generation to the next like that for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Today, of course, we call that estate planning.
Right.
And this is a spot where you really want to make sure that the actions that you take are relevant to the mission that you have and what God has called you to. When you are doing estate planning, it's really easy for you to begin to worry about what happens to your money when you're gone.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And how your loved ones may be affected.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we sort of dive into this topic, we won't be able to cover it more than just scratching the surface. We do want to acknowledge that, first of all, there are feelings that come up when you think about your money and your assets, right? I mean, when you invest everything that you have earned into everything you own, then there's a little piece of you in every digit.
Right? Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, about how the old saying is, well, it's just money, right?
Or an object.
It can be replaced, which is true. Our health is more important.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at money and I look at things that I have, they were all purchased carefully.
Yeah.
And intentionally. And mm-hmm. it took me hours of work to accumulate that money to mm-hmm. buy that.
That's
so
right.
So I don't just look at it as paper. I look at it as time in my life I won't be able to get back.
That's right. So there's a little piece of you in every digit, in every investment.
Mm-hmm.
In every business effort that you might be associated with. So there is this normal development of feelings about things to which you have your name attached.
Sure.
Right? Now, it's also interesting, though, because you have these feelings going on of things that you are attached to. At the same time that we say, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means all of your stuff actually doesn't belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
Belongs to God. But still I have these feelings attached, right? And so this creates a really interesting conundrum. A lot of times we hear when people are doing estate planning is that they believe they can control their money from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
To make their money do what they want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not that you can't do that. You know, you can write paragraphs into your will. You can write trust provisions in place that actually require whoever's receiving that money to follow certain rules. And, you know, only under certain conditions does money get distributed and so on and so forth.
So you can't take it with you, but you can still control kind of how it's used when you're gone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But this is, again, this is an interesting conundrum because, you know, you can either decide to approach your money as something that you own and you control, or you can approach it as something that you are managing for God.
And you have a fiduciary duty.
And you have a
to do good things with that money.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, I would rather be have a fiduciary responsibility to God than that's probably more scary than any other fiduciary responsibility, right?
Keeping a tight spreadsheet.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess we gently want to suggest that while it is important to be a good steward and to really effectively manage the money that God has entrusted to you, that the money and things that have your name on it are not really your primary mission, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, your primary mission is to be God's person here on this earth.
That's right.
Bringing God's kingdom to earth. And that may not involve trying to control your money after you're gone, right? It's probably more important to be focused on things like developing other people as disciples of Jesus so that when you are gone, they will be using that money in a way that is pleasing to God as well. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be gone either way. So
you're looking down smiling knowing it's being put to good purpose.
That's exactly right. So it's normal to develop an attachment to things that have your name attached, money, business that you may be involved with, church. Mm-hmm. I mean, clergy. You watch some of these guys and women, I mean, you watch them work, and they put a lot of time and effort into building churches. And, you know, my wife's...
And a lot of their own money into the programs that they run.
That's right. Mm-hmm. My wife's father was a minister all his life, and he spent an enormous amount of time on church. And there's really this catch-22 because the church all by itself can sometimes take up as much of a consuming focus as money or business.
Mm-hmm. I know a good percentage of people are just there on Sundays, but some of those members are there all throughout the week.
That's
getting
right.
Things ready, handling those extra projects that they have going on.
That's right.
Their time, money, resources.
Mm-hmm. And we think you should be involved in church, but church should never rise to the place where it takes God's place.
That's true.
Right. Just like money should never rise to the place where it takes God's place,
mm-hmm.
or business. So again, in this whole area of estate planning, there are two ways at looking at the things that we call ours. One, we can just say, hey, this is our stuff, and look for ways to control it for as long as possible. Or two, we can recognize that everything we have belongs to God, and then look for ways to teach people who will one day receive our money and our stuff to be good stewards. Which leads us to a spot where we can let go of money with confidence. And the point is really that it's easy to lose sight of our mission and what God has called us to if we get wrapped up in the process of actually managing the money and being in business or being involved in church.
Yeah, and I think that's what that book that we spoke about, you have it right there, about mm-hmm. the ultimate gift.
That's right.
The character Red Stevens. He wanted to be able to give those principles back and pass them on to those that he cared about. And he felt like he failed in doing so throughout his lifetime.
That's right.
So from the grave, he tried to instill those principles so they would continue to do well.
That's right. So if you haven't read the book, the title of the book is The Ultimate Gift. It's written by a man named Jim Stovall and was produced by Executive Books.
It's an easy read, but it's a great book.
That's right. A couple of things that you can do to try to, you know, be on a good path when it comes to this area of estate planning and what to do with money that's entrusted to you. Surround yourself with competent advisors who also share your values.
That's right.
Both of those things. I mean, if someone shares your values but they're not competent as an advisor, that's not a good spot. And if someone is a competent advisor but doesn't share your values, that's also not a good spot to be. So who are some of those advisors? Well, an attorney.
Sure.
Someone who understands how to write legal documents in a way that reflects, again, your values and your intention like that as a Christian.
Accountants.
Yes. CPAs. That's mm-hmm. right. A financial advisor. Investment managers. Business consultants.
Absolutely.
Right. If you're in business and trying to understand how to arrange your business assets in a way that really carry forth, you know, again, God's kingdom right here on this earth. You had thought life coaches.
Sure.
That's right.
I mean, if you're kind of aligned with someone who's able to give you guidance moving forward, and you're both closely aligned, I think they'll be able to point you in the right direction of what steps to take.
That's right.
To get you where you want to go.
That's right. And if you're in business, human resources consultants, again, and pastors too.
Absolutely.
And, right. So clergy.
And I'd say that's a big one, actually.
That is a big one. Mm-hmm. That's right. So anyway, we could go on for a while on examples of people to surround yourself with who can help give you the right kind of guidance, advice, and accountability for keeping you on the right track, making sure that what you do, your actions are relevant to your mission and your goals. Don't forget to write things down. You can never reassess your current planning and make sure that it's still relevant if you don't have it written down.
And if you're not quite sure about that, listen to two episodes back, our podcast, where we talk about why it's so important to write down your goals.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, though, how would people go about listening to some of those previous podcasts?
Well, there's a couple ways they can listen to them. The first is Holy Family Radio's website, which is 720WHYF.com.
AM 720.
It's www.720WHYF.com.
Yeah.
Or they could go in the future to our website, wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, I know in this day and age, just pull out your smartphone. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, and in most major podcast platforms. So
that's right. Just search for the Holy Family Radio Podcast on Spotify.
And follow that, and our episodes will get released there after they air.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's the time always goes quickly. Remember to send your answers to this week's puzzle to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. We look forward to seeing you next week, where we're going to be talking with Cody Hobelman.
Yes.
And exciting interview there that we're going to have. Again, you're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Bye, everybody.